If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KVOI.
So I'm sitting here looking at my Galaxy Note 7S that's brand new.
It's 839. I was going
to
ask you.
Waiting for it to explode.
Paul J. and David. Now, David and I have a thing.
Yes, we do.
We love the Galaxy phones.
Yes, we do.
And I had a 4. Then you got a 5.
Then I got a 5.
And we rub it into each other. What is that? 5.
5.
Okay.
We're not talking to Todd with 1D anymore.
So then I got a 6, and I was lording it all over last week.
When the day after it came out, I hustled over and got a 7S Note. And I came in and went, ooh, look at this phone.
I'm in your face.
Look at that. Ooh, doo, doo.
You still got that old 6.
You might as well just make that a coaster for your drink, because that's worthless for you now.
Yeah. And I was jealous up until 2 days ago.
When they said that every time I plug it in, I might be waiting for it to explode.
Yeah. And they've, as you said, started to post pictures now.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen 2 pictures, and it's scary because I'm going to do this. I know it's radio. But it's like this blackened stuff all the way up to here, and the whole front face is shattered from the explosion. So it like burns all the way, like two-thirds of the way through the phone, and then the front screen is just shattered completely.
Under the ideal circumstance, then you could burn down the house.
Yes. If it's if it's against a blanket or whatever, you probably could.
Set it on a newspaper.
Yep.
Don't do that.
Now, the one good thing for me is, A, I've had no issues with this phone since I got it 2
weeks
ago.
And B, it's 1%.
B, it's 1%. So I know that they're offering, Samsung is going to replace all the phones.
That was my question. With what?
With new phones. Go with new batteries. All it's going to take is a battery.
So you go get a battery.
And they just put the new battery in.
Well, you could do that.
Yeah, but have no issues, I don't know that I should. But at the same time, I don't know that I...
You don't want to...
You know what? I'm going to wait for the text from Samsung, because they'll text me or email me saying,
will.
Hey, just to let you know. Because they're doing it piecemeal. You can't... They don't want all 1 million people who have bought some Samsung Galaxy Notes to go
widely
in.
Noted as the best phone out there right now.
Yes.
Samsung 7 Note. And it's generally accepted that this is the best phone out there now.
And I thought for sure when I got it, when I was looking at it, I go, am I ever going to use that pen? Do I need that?
Have you?
Oh, my gosh.
All the time.
All the time. I put grocery lists down. If I'm driving and I'm at a stoplight and I think of something, at a stoplight, I'm at a red light, not moving. When I'm in meetings here, I don't take a pad of paper with me anymore. I'm taking notes on my phone because
so
I can
ridiculous.
Save it so that if I need to go around to people's offices, I can go, you remember earlier today when we talked about X, Y, and Z? I don't have a pad of paper with me. I love it. Love it. Worth every penny. Samsung, thank you very much.
Is that smoke coming from your back pocket?
Yep, sure is.
Yay.
But my phone's up here.
Yeah. All right, so you're probably not going to take it in. Even if prompted, you might not. You might not.
I'm probably going to. I might not. I'll wait till I get the text or email, and then I'll decide. Because literally, I plug it in when it needs to be charged. I plug it in. I haven't. And I plug it in at work. I plug it in at home, and I've had no issues.
And it's 1%.
Yeah, and it's one. That's such a. So out of the million people, it's such a small number. But do I want to take that chance on not taking it in, and then? In 3 weeks after that, it blows up.
Phones, yeah.
Yeah, it's still only 1,000 phones. That's not very many.
That's a lot of phones.
Not when you count a million. And so if I don't take it in, and then it explodes 3 weeks after the recall, then they're going to say, sorry, dude, we told you to bring it in. This is all on you now.
Do they give you a time limit?
I don't know. I'm just saying that, I mean, I can't take it in 2 years from now and say, you said you'd replace this.
Can I have a new phone? Give me one of those 9s.
I'll take that. So, yeah.
All right, it's an open phones Friday. Give us a call.
336-3700, 1-800-529-KBOI, or just 5264, or #670 on Verizon Wireless. We obviously this week talked Kaepernick. We talked preppers. We talked a little bit about the unpopularity of Hillary and Donald both.
Right.
The Kaepernick thing continued last night in San Diego.
Yep.
Booed mercilessly, but 2 other football players.
Yep.
refused to stand again for the national anthem with him. So, you know, it's all out there for us, and we've got a couple other things we want to touch on, too. But first,
America's debt problems have evolved. We're going to talk about that a little bit today.
Yep.
We're a minute early, but let's try it anyway. Let's go to...
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back. Paul, Jay, and David Allen. Everybody's been... Well, almost everybody. I mean, there are certain people who've never been in debt.
Sure.
But, you know, trust babies, et cetera.
It's the rarity.
That's an old problem. But what seems to be getting us into hot water has certainly changed since the roaring 20s when we used to, you know, pay you tomorrow for some bootleg today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it might not bode well for the growing rich-poor gap in the country. Many Americans owe more than they own.
That's a scary thought process.
Really, really scary thought. And the situation intensified during the recession and its aftermath. Now, one of the main reasons, I haven't read this complete story, it's got to be student debt, right?
Well, some of it will be student debt.
Because they don't have anything.
Some of it will also be housing.
Yeah.
Because if it's with the recent recession, 2008, if you were upside down and underwater on your house...
You're
a mess.
You're almost back now, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
But all the stuff you accrued during that time
true.
Is going to be weighing down on you.
Yeah. A recent study by the Congressional Budget Office puts this into perspective. The share of families in debt remained unchanged between 1989 and 2007. And then, starting in 2007 to 2013, it increased 50%.
See, that's got to be the recession. But that's got to be the recession. Oh, yeah. That's got to be the downturn.
What you just talked about.
Yeah, the fact that the stock market went in the tank and people lost a lot of money in their 401ks and the housing market just cratered.
And a lot of people think you should, you know, when you're doing the wealth thing.
Yes.
That you shouldn't be able to count stuff that fluctuates.
Yep. But you have to.
Like a house.
You have to.
Sure you do.
But so if you paid, you know, you're like, oh, I bought my house for $250,000, and when I sell it, I'm going to sell it for more. It's going to be great. Then it craters, and you find out it's worth $85,000. Ouch.
Okay, and on the opposite side of that, Tam and I bought the house we were in 28 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
29 years ago. And the price of that house, the worth of that house, has gone up 4 times.
Yeah.
But it's still the same house.
Yep.
And were we to sell that house, we would have to pay 4 times as much to buy another house.
To buy the next house. That's why my parents...
So, you're no better off.
My parents are the same way. They bought their house in 74, and they paid like $27,000 for it. It's probably worth probably $200,000 now. So they'd get a lot of money back, obviously, but it would cost them $400,000
to buy a new house.
So a similar house. Yeah, a similar house of 1,500 square feet and 3 bedrooms. And 2 baths.
Yeah, so, you know, are you ahead? Well, yeah, on paper you're ahead because your house is worth 4 times as much.
But in reality, you're way behind.
Yeah.
Way behind.
Housing and student loan debts have been the main problem, as we mentioned, among U.S. households that had a negative net worth in 2007. 56%.
Good call on your part.
Had bad student loan balances, averaging $29,000.
Wow.
That's nothing. That's not.
Yeah.
6 years later, that jumped to 64% owing $41,000. Natalie lived with 3 girls. She's the only one that didn't have student debt.
Yeah.
She had one of her girls that she lived with owed $112,000.
That's crazy.
$112,000.
That's crazy.
She's going to be a nurse. Where's she going to get that money?
Nowhere.
Where's she going to get that money?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Housing debts have been even worse. Only 3% of negative worth families in 2007 had negative home equity too, and that averaged $16,000. But by 2013, 19% owed an average of $45,000 more than their homes were worth.
See, they went. That's $30,000 more. That's crazy.
Yeah. Can you say upside?
Upside down. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chimney's going into the basement on that one.
All right, who's on line one?
Mark.
Mark, All right, got 2 minutes, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, yesterday, I'm sorry I didn't clarify. It was kind of muddled when I was talking about Russia and what's been kind of going on behind the scenes here. And, you know, Savage helped kind of explain some of it yesterday in his afternoon show here on KBOI. And that was the fact that Mr. Johnson, obviously through the orders of the Obama administration, wanted to basically hijack, if possible, the state's ability to control their own elections. This has never happened, as far as I know, in the past 100 or more years in this country, if ever. And we didn't have a Homeland Security 100 years ago to begin with. But, I mean, you know, there's something really wrong with this whole picture. I brought up the fact that I think the media, there's some behind-the-scenes shady stuff that they're trying to project Russia as the influence on hijacking the election offices in Illinois and Arizona. They're saying, like Hillary and Obama has, that they're our enemy. I think this is a facade to basically hijack and try to control the outcome of the elections. And, you know, there's something really drastically wrong here. You know, we talked about yesterday, you guys brought up what was in the paper about the end days and mm-hmm. all that. I just think we're going to go through a whole social upheaval. You know, people like Rich who love the marvels of progressive socialism, and you get Hillary in there, and it's just going to get far worse than what we have right now. But I'm wondering what people out there, including you guys, think of something like Jay Johnson. I'm going to get a hold of our governor's office and the people I know over there and ask them, what does Butch Otter plan on standing on this? I mean, I'm not hearing this coming out in our mainstream media. You have to find it on Drudge or WorldNet Daily. So why is this not coming out about what Jay Johnson is trying to do with orders from the Obama administration? So what do you guys think about that? I'll let you go.
All right, thanks. We don't have time to get into it now. We'll talk about it on the other side of the hour. He mentioned Homeland Security. Remember, he said we didn't even have Homeland Security. Do we really need Homeland Security?
Not before 2001.
Department of Homeland Security? We need that? It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and David, 9:07.
That guy filling in for Chris.
That guy. Guy is here. All right. Went to the Department of Homeland Security.
Yes.
On their website, they say this. There are 16 critical infrastructure sectors whose assets, systems, and networks, whether physical or virtual, are considered so vital to the United States that their incapacitation or destruction would have a debilitating effect on security, economic security, public health, safety, or any combination thereof.
Okay.
Now, this is not too long, so hang with me here. The directive adds, the federal government also has a responsibility to strengthen the security and resilience of its own critical infrastructure for the continuity of national essential functions, to organize itself to partner effectively with and add value to the security, et cetera, et cetera. Johnson did not mention Jay Johnson specific security issues. The FBI had since cited one hack and another attempt. Johnson also said the big issue at hand is that there isn't a central election system since elections are run by the state.
Sure.
There's no one federal election system. There are rather 9,000 jurisdictions involved in the election process.
Mm-hmm.
There's a national election for president and some 9,000 jurisdictions that participate and contribute to collecting votes, tallying and reporting votes, he said. But nothing's been hacked yet.
Here's the thing. If you want to see a conspiracy in anything,
you can find
in it. Roger Goodell in the NFL, in the hierarchy of this radio station.
Right.
You're going to find a conspiracy if you want to see it.
You can always find somebody that agrees with your point of view.
Yep. And then you're off and running.
Yeah.
And you'll Google stuff on the internet. Is that what the kids are calling it? Google? Mm-hmm. You'll Google stuff on the internet, because I'm not really sure how to do it. You'll Google stuff on the internet, and you'll find 100,000 stories that will agree.
And 100,000 that will disagree
with your stories. So just live your life, do your research, look at a lot of credible, reputable places, and draw your own conclusions to stuff.
Yeah, and Lord knows, what people believe in, very personal.
Yes, definitely.
And when people name call people for having diverse opinions from theirs, it cheapens the whole deal.
Yes.
Just respect the fact somebody doesn't agree with somebody else, and they're not stupid because they don't agree. They've just reached a different conclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go to Luther and Chalice. Luther.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I think we're going to make 250,000 acres before snow falls, unfortunately.
Supposed to say flies. Country. Supposed to say snow flies. We talked about that earlier today. It's going to burn.
Well, we don't need any
flies.
Wind.
No, you don't.
That's the last thing we need.
Yeah, that's a fact. Well, okay.
What's the air conditions? What are they like up in Chalice? Smoky?
My visual conditions right now, I can see a quarter mile, but not much beyond that.
Wow.
And it just blew in at sunrise, and I had to get up and shut the windows. Uh-oh.
We had to do that here, too.
Anyway, you know that Trump's daughter and Putin's daughter have been partying in Moscow? Did you know that?
I did not.
Okay.
And I feel okay that I did know that. Go ahead.
Now, I'm going to read you a quote from a well-placed member of the Trump campaign.
All right.
Nobody is naive enough to think this campaign is going well. Fundamentally, the fundamental problem is that the people who now are running this campaign don't give a blank if he wins or loses. Now, that's the Huffington Post. You know, they're liberals, but yeah, it's the only place I can get any decent news right at the moment.
All right.
But at any rate, okay, there's a campaign on right now by neurologists, okay? And they want the presidential candidates to take a suite of tests.
Wasn't that Trump's idea?
I have no idea.
Well, he started
so much stuff comes out of his mouth.
Well, yeah, but he started the thing that, why haven't we seen Hillary? Is she sick? Is she not healthy? And
she's out there every day.
Yeah.
She looks fine.
Well, she's out. You know, yeah, she's out raising money, yeah.
But if I tell you that you really want to buy a blue car.
Yeah.
And if I tell you long enough, you will. But the thing is, Trump is, he's going to melt down on the trail one of these days. And it's basically, I would think, you know, it's the end of the Republican Party as the old timers knew it, is absolutely a problem. And Trump, okay, went down to Mexico. He went, I'm going to build a wall just last night. And just yesterday, the president of Mexico released a news release saying, we're not building a wall and we're not paying for it. Now, Trump's living in a fantasy world. Do we want to join him there?
Well, David had an idea. Mm-hmm. We talked about this off the air. David, how is he going to sell that Mexico paid for the
wall? See, here's how he'll sell how Mexico pays for the wall if he wins and gets the wall built. He'll say we, and well, I'm just throwing. Hold on, Luther.
They'll just have to grow more drugs.
No, here's the thing, Luther. What he'll say, and I'm just throwing out numbers because I don't have the specific numbers in front of me. Let's say we send Mexico $3 trillion a year. He'll say, you know what? This year we're sending you $1 trillion, and we're taking that $2 trillion, and we're building the wall. So thank you for building the wall, Mexico. We appreciate it.
Well, one thing is, right now, we're sending a bunch of aircraft manufacturing jobs to Mexico. These are your Republicans at work. They own the corporations, and they're sending those jobs away. So we don't have to give Mexico money because we're giving them jobs.
Well, we still, as a country, we give a lot of countries money, yeah. And we still do that. So
Yes, we do. But, you know... every time we get a Republican in here, we get three new wars. And we're not done with the last ones. And that's what did in Rome.
Well, see, I would tell Luther, thanks for the call. If we get three new wars with Republicans and we're not done with the ones we have, that means the Democrat didn't get rid of the ones we had. Right?
That's kind of convoluted reasoning, but I...
I'm seeing the conspiracy. I think Todd agrees with me.
I understand it.
So two of us believe it, so it's got to be true.
Yeah, and I'm outnumbered. KBOI News Time, 9:15.
Breaking news from Paul J. Schneider. Yesterday's SpaceX explosion actually started because somebody had left their Note 7 on the spaceship.
Yep.
And the rest was history.
Maybe you ought to take yours in.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that over there now.
Yeah, it's the way to move it toward me.
We're better off.
Yeah, okay. KBOY rewards code is?
Debt. D-E-B as in boy, T. Debt.
Debt. D-E-B-T. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter debt. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Bob in Boise writes us regarding Luther's comments. Donald Trump has actually went and met face-to-face with the Mexican president. Who else can you say has done that at all for anything? Maybe it happens all the time, but I never seen it until now. And by Donald Trump. That's supposedly not even a politician. Why can't America see the efforts he is making, and he is not even the president yet?
Okay. I think Obama's been down there.
But Hillary hasn't.
Point taken.
Huh? That's what Bob's saying.
Oh, okay. So
that's Bob's point. That Hillary hasn't gone down.
All right. Let's go to Steve in Boise. Steve, good morning.
Hey, Paul J. Hey, good point there. You know, people have to understand that, like Luther, Donald Trump was invited to Mexico. He didn't go to Mexico because he just wanted to. And so was Hillary Clinton invited. She chose not to go because she doesn't have a stand on immigration. She has no plan. It's the same old, we need to do comprehensive immigration for the last three decades, and nothing's been done. You heard what he said when he interviewed with the Mexican president. It will get done. We will build a wall, and it will be done. Now, he didn't say the price or nothing, but you have to understand, at least the guy went. Hillary won't go because she's got nothing to say. Hillary didn't even go to Louisiana. You know, this is what's going to happen, Paul J. Donald Trump has basically done what no other Republican has done. They've all spineless wonders who have been voted in 2012 to get the House and the Congress to stop this maniac from his executive orders, and they've done absolutely nothing. This is why the people, and he's coming on, he's within 1 point of her right now. Matter of fact, the new Rasmussen shows him 2 points ahead nationally.
Yeah, he's ahead in a couple of polls, actually.
Yeah, he's got, and everybody's against him, so that tells you. I think the people are going to surprise him here. I think and look at Hillary Clinton. She gets caught lying to your face. The FBI director proved it. He wouldn't press charges or indict her, but he laid out the whole case that, yes, she did do everything that they accused her of or they said she did. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is fact, and her emails are facts. This is not a conspiracy theory, and you still can't catch these
easy slippery, now, easy now.
You can't catch them. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like Sean Hannity said, if they caught Hillary Clinton robbing a bank on video, they would deny it. Or the liberal media would say it wasn't really her. It's just unbelievable.
All right, thanks for
you
the
guys have a great
thanks for the call. You too. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
Fran and McCall writes us and said, we give all kinds of money to other countries.
Would
would someone explain this with actual facts, facts that are true, not guesses? I'd like to know how much to what country for what reason. My personal economy is not too great. I could use a little help. Coming up after the bottom of the hour,
we'll tell you.
I will answer that, Fran.
Nice. Gotta like that. And we give a lot to countries that we're at war with, basically.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
It's absolutely incredible. We don't have time for another phone call. About a minute left before the break. It's interesting. For an election with the two most disliked candidates in the history of presidential elections since polls or whatever we're thinking, how passionate people are about
this.
They're not apathetic.
Nope.
Well, the ones.
Trump supporters are
very vocal.
Hillary supporters, very passionate.
Yeah. The ones in the middle are going, what? So, I mean, it's
going to be an interesting 70 days or 68 days, however many it is.
And I tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what's going to happen. It's hard to deal against Trump because people have been dealing against him for 16 months.
Yeah.
And all he's done is win. Hard to deal against that.
Yep.
Yep. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
9:36 right now. Fran, before the bottom of the hour, wrote us from a call saying, who are these countries and how much money do they get? So I have...
A lot of countries, a lot of money.
This is from the fiscal year 2014.
Okay.
So it's a couple years ago. $35 billion on foreign aid to over 140 countries. So I guess if you look at it, countries to aid, maybe it's okay.
Wow.
Just to give you an example, top five recipients of economic aid in 2014, Israel got $3.1 billion. Egypt got $1.5 billion. Afghanistan got $1.1 billion. Jordan got $1 billion. And Pakistan got $933 million.
Most in the Middle East?
Yep. Below is a breakout of aid received by geographic region in the fiscal year 2014. Africa, 20%. East Asia and the Pacific, 2%. Europe and Eurasia, 2%. Near East, 20%. South and Central Asia, 7%. The Western Hemisphere, 4%. General aid, 45%.
What does that mean, general aid?
I guess that's people who don't fall into one of those categories.
One of the countries, okay.
Yeah. With 142 countries receiving aid out of the 188 countries listed with the International Monetary Fund in 2014, approximately 76% of the world received some form of economic assistance from the U.S., the majority located within Africa and the Near East.
It's amazing.
There you go, Fran.
Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich.
Well, most of our aid, though, is military weapons. That's what we call that aid, and that puts people in the United States to work building them. But on Trump on his wall, he keeps floating different. At first, he was going to pay for it by the money that people here send home to Mexico. Except as soon as they started confiscating that money, they'd stop doing it. So that won't work. And then he brings up the trade deficit with Mexico. I think it's like $35 billion. I'm not sure of that number. That's stuff that we buy for Mexico. We're not sending them the money. I bought a set of Michelin tires at Costco. They were made in Mexico. Now, if we were to put a tax on that, then who pays the tax? We pay the tax. I would have paid the tax, so I'd be building the wall. Plus, if we put a tax on stuff from Mexico, less stuff would be bought from Mexico, so we'd collect less taxes. He has no way of paying for this wall, and it's Congress isn't going to waste all that money. It's like $30 billion to pay for that wall and then maintain it for years, and then the cost starts going up the older it gets, and I mean, it's a ridiculous idea.
Rich, two things real quick. First of all, about your aid thing. I just looked it up. In 2014, it ended up being $43 billion. Total military assistance, it was only $10 billion. Total economic assistance was almost $33 billion.
Yeah, but they put military, they put money that we give them to military, and like what we give to Egypt, that $1.5 billion, that goes to their military and their police force.
And that's the $11 billion. I'm saying $11 billion was military assistance, and economic assistance was 33 of the 43.
Well,
but here's my question for you.
I think they count a lot of that military as economic. How much is going to Mexico?
Here's my question for you on the wall. Let's say everybody agrees in reality that there's no way he can build it. That we all just go, it's a boondoggle. But does he get credit, and do you think people back him because at least he's talking about no amnesty and 11 million people have to go home or whatever it might be, however he softens it this week? Do you think people just like the fact that he's at least acknowledging the problem?
Well, that's the people who support him. That's what they
sure.
like.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, we can't deport 11 million people.
No. And, what I'm saying is
but the people who support him, that's what they like about him.
Yeah.
But it's a bad plan, you know, but that is why he's popular.
Yeah.
I mean, the mainstream Republicans don't go for his ideas because they know that they won't work and they're improbable. But that is why the Trump supporters.
That's
like
what I
Trump.
Thought.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
thanks, Rich. I appreciate the call, man.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, you and I talked about this week because we both agreed that the wall is probably
not going to happen.
Impractical, but everyone's just excited the fact that he's like, every time you see a story where an illegal immigrant kills somebody or whatever might happen, they're like, seriously, how is he deported four times and come back?
Yeah, and we're always saying, you know, that have a plan. If you want to solve this problem, have a plan. At least he has a plan.
So even if it's a boondoggle and a silly plan, at least he has a plan. Exactly.
He's got one. Let's go to Bill in Boise. Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, earlier in the program, you was talking about interest rates on houses and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, I'll give you an example of in 1999, I was 56 years old.
Okay.
I'm 73 right now. Okay, I bought, my wife and I bought a double-wide mobile home, put it in the park. Okay, our house payment was $561, and the trailer park was $289. All right, here we are 17 years later. I paid $55,000 for the home.
Okay.
And the last statement I got, I owed $45,000 on it.
Wow. Wow, after 15 years?
We got in at 10.5% interest because it's a mobile home.
Mm. And let me tell you something. I bought the house I'm in now at 10%. And the minute the rate started going down, we've refinanced it I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
But our house has been paid off.
We tried to refinance, but we can't because ours is on a not on a foundation.
Oh, okay.
Foundation,
yep.
We could.
Yep.
And so... Now the trailer space went from $285 a month to where we're paying $492 a month now.
Oh my God!
And I'm on Social Security and retirement, but I'm making it. But yet for me to be able to go somewhere else, it cost me about $2,000 just to move.
Wow!
So I'm stuck here.
Yeah,
it's due to be paid off in the year 2028. I'm not sure I'll be around by 2028.
Man, that's incredible. You got a 30-year loan on a double wide, and you still owe $45,000.
That's crazy.
Yep. And I can't sell it because I can't sell it for what I owe it.
No, exactly. No. Yeah, you'd be upside down beyond belief.
So when I get ready to move into an assisted living center or something like that, I just have to walk away from it.
Now, how much do you owe on it?
45.
And it costs 55.
Wow.
Ouch. Thanks, Bill. Oh, that's depressing.
Thanks, Bill. Helen in Boise writes in and says, so we are great because we are seen as a vending machine that dispenses money to all these countries. How about the candidates talking about how to keep our money in our country to get ourselves out of debt and make our own economy better? A lot of people feel that way.
No question.
Yeah.
KBOI News Time, 9:45. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live.
The Pioneer Fire jumps in Anchorage burned once again. We'll have that for you coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to David and Paul J.
Well, we had a live report from Luther. Said you can see a quarter of a mile in Chalice. The mountains are just ridiculous.
Yep.
It's it's terrible. I don't know what else I can say.
Yeah, it's every time I walk outside and I go, wow.
I'm looking
I can't see the mountains at all.
I'm looking at Redfish Lake. It doesn't look too bad. So, it's all south. No, Chalice is north of Redfish. It's all north.
Everything's north, Paul J.
Yep.
Come on now. It's all exactly. Done with ball bearings now.
All right. Back to the phones. Let's go to Jim in Marsing. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
How are you?
One of the arguments I hear about this illegal immigration is from the Speaker of the House down to our local politicians is that the Hispanics from Mexico are particularly well suited to do labor that the American people will not do.
Yeah, they've said that for years.
And I absolutely do not believe that they are any less intelligent, Hispanics from Mexico, than anyone born in this country at all. And that's a tired old argument from the 1800s, mm-hmm. pre-Civil War days. And I am sick and tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, see, when I hear, maybe they have a better work ethic than we have.
No, they don't, Paul J. Their work ethic, there are people from Mexico have good work ethics. And there are people have bad work ethics.
Yeah, I got
some
you.
Are honest, some are not.
Yep. They're people.
No different than people born north of the border. And I will almost guarantee you the percentage is almost the same.
You know, you're probably right. Probably right.
And I think you'll find that in any race from any country. It's not going to be much different. And there isn't any one race that's any inferior to anybody else. And these guys had better start waking up to that fact. Thanks,
guys. Thanks.
Good
appreciate
stuff.
It.
Yeah, I mean, what he says is probably true.
Yep.
In fact, I would bet on it. Let's go to Denise in Napa. Denise.
Good morning. Earlier, you mentioned about the Department of Homeland Security wanting to take over the electoral system as part of because of our infrastructure.
Actually, that was one of our callers said that.
Okay, well, yeah. You guys talked about it a bit, and then I also heard you talk about conspiracy theories. I actually didn't hear the caller.
Oh, okay.
But the reason why I'm calling is because it just seems to me, the way I heard it in talking about conspiracy theories and then also in relation to the Department of Homeland Security taking over, you know, basing logical deductions through critical thinking on facts, that's not conspiracy. The fact is the states were supposed to have, they have enumerated rights in our Constitution, and the vote is part of that, okay? That's part of the state's responsibilities, and more, the federal government is taking control over these things, and when that happens, it takes control away from the people, and that was never the intent. And it's certainly not what I would consider constitutional, because it's supposed to be the power of the people. So when you talk about conspiracy theories, kind of sort of in the same breath as talking about them taking over that, that's not a conspiracy theory. They're doing this. Every day they are whittling away our liberties and our voice as the American people. When that's federalized, we lose control of it. What's the point of having a county election board or, you know, a state secretary of state? There is none, because it's all coming down on high, and they show nothing from the federal level.
But the story,
the American people.
The story we read basically said that Homeland Security says there are 9,000 things that run the presidential election, 9,000 states, like you said, states, counties, municipalities, whatever, 9,000 in this country. And they weren't trying to take it over. They were trying to keep it from getting hacked.
No, they use that as an excuse that they need to oversee this and that they will take it over. And that ought not
no, they never said that, though.
Well, yeah, they have been saying that. They're looking for a directive to be able to do that. And what's happening is we are losing our liberties and our power as the people when that happens. You know, Homeland Security wasn't able to stop the terrorist attacks that happened in the United States because of these convoluted set of rules that they set up for themselves that make no sense whatsoever. If they can't keep us safe and keep us and keep terrorism out, how on earth are they going to keep the integrity in the election system that already has tremendous voter fraud? It's not going to happen. It's just a matter of taking more power away from the people. And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's experience that we have had over and over and over again.
Well,
and so
the reason I'll tell you the reason that the Department of Homeland Security was not able to stop the terrorist attack is because it started November 25th, 2002.
Yeah, it was after 9/11.
No, I'm not talking about 9/11. I'm talking about Orlando. I'm talking about San Bernardino. And the reason why they couldn't stop that attack was because they actually would not look into information unless CARE told them it was okay. CARE is an unindicted co-conspirator with, like, terrorist groups. But unless CARE tells them that they can question somebody, they're not. They deleted information that was vital to stopping those attacks because it wasn't politically correct.
All right. Going to have to leave you there. Thank you, Denise. KBOI News Time, 9:55. Something to think about. But Mike Rogers is next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org or stop by 2000 North El Dorado Sundays at 10:30.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
College football season gets into full swing this weekend. Too often we hear about young football players getting into trouble. Florida State wide receiver Travis Rudolph is doing something to get some attention, too, and for good reason. Tuesday, several FSU players visited Montfort Middle School in Tallahassee. In the cafeteria at lunchtime, Rudolph saw a student sitting, eating by himself. He pulled up a chair next to him. Little did he know how much this small gesture meant. The child, Bo Paskey, has autism. Bo sits alone for lunch all the time. Bo's mom said sometimes she's actually grateful for his autism. It might just shield him from the awkward stares or eating by himself. When she heard about Rudolph sitting next to him, she wept. She said this was the one day she didn't have to worry if her boy ate lunch alone. Bo sat across from someone who's a hero in her eyes. Yes, indeed. And it has nothing to do with football. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.